Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
All right, well, let's learn even more about Steve Bannon, his role at the White House, and really his politics. Joining me now is David Vondrelli. He's with The Washington Post now. David, it's good to hear you.
Good to be here. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, well, I mean, back in February, you wrote a really big profile of Steve Bannon, then for Time magazine. The headline then was, "Is Steve Bannon the second most powerful man in the world?" What did you conclude at that time, given today that he's out?
We looked at Bannon's special relationship with Donald Trump, which is either going to leave a big hole now that he's gone, or the president's going to have to find some way to channel Bannon or Bannonism, because he really was the philosopher of Donald Trump's movement. Before Trump connected with Bannon, he was a great instinctive campaigner. He had tapped something in the American public that obviously, you know, shot him to the top of the Republican primaries. But Donald Trump himself is not a very political guy. He's been a Democrat. He's been an independent. Now he was running as a Republican. He's been all over the map philosophically. He didn't really have any issues that he was particularly passionate about, although he was getting a lot of, you know, juice out of the immigration issue. Mm-hmm. Steve Bannon, on the other hand, is a strange and big world historical kind of thinker, very apocalyptic. He made films and influenced Breitbart to become this voice of an idea that history is at a turning point. Yeah.
David, can I just jump in here, because
sure.
It leads me to what I wanted to ask you next, which was, yes, yeah. I mean, Steve Bannon has this coherent, like you said, a somewhat apocalyptic worldview of America or the West versus the world. We heard Ron Elving a little earlier remind us about how Bannon frequently railed against what he called globalists, etc.
Yeah.
And that he did think, as you said, the world was at a key turning point, and that America could lose in that turning point, as he told Bob Kuttner earlier this week. But tell us, where did all that come from? What happened in Steve Bannon's life to have that emerge as his political worldview?
You know, it's interesting to try to connect all the dots. He said that some of the key points in his life were seeing way back in the 70s when he was an officer in the Navy, seeing what he felt was the fecklessness of the Carter administration during the Iran hostage crisis, that disillusioned him about America, American institutions, American power, and then the financial collapse of 2008, which hit home, particularly with his father, a man who had saved some money and worked his way up in the world, and unfortunately sort of panicked and liquidated his investments. Bannon had been on Wall Street, and he saw how Wall Street seems always to win, and the American people are the ones who pay the price in these kinds of panics. And so that soured him as well on the financial institutions, and he began to see the world as a place where corrupted institutions and elites took advantage of the American people.
Mm. Now, every once in a while, there would be a photo tweeted by someone who had visited Steve Bannon in his White House office, and there was this interesting whiteboard behind him with this big list of goals that Bannon had for the Trump administration. Every once in a while, you could read them, things like, you know, executive orders on immigration and removing the United States from various trade deals. I mean, how much of what actually came out of the White House or has come out of the White House thus far has Bannon's fingerprints on it?
You know, I think a lot of it is. But what you also see is that Bannon would check the board as soon as Trump had thrown a bomb in one of these areas. So it didn't really matter if he got a wall built. if he had, you know, asked for money in his budget to start the wall, then check. The whiteboard got marked. So it wasn't so much that he needed to get results. It was that he needed to signal to his supporters, to his base, that Trump was doing what he said he was going to do. And if you talk to Trump supporters, you see that that has worked, that they feel like Trump has gotten a lot of stuff done while he's been in the White House,
right.
Even though I think what people familiar with Washington would say not much has actually happened.
Yeah. David Vondrili of The Washington Post, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
This is Here and Now.